Okay.
Just tap on that.
Okay. And then I click on all the ones I want to send?
Yep.
Okay.
Welcome to the Cedar Hills Planning Commission meeting dated September 26, 2017. I would like to recognize Steve Thomas as a voting member of the commission tonight. Open the meeting for public comment.
I guess that means I'm not.
Freeness and set aside for anybody like that voting comment. They can speak about whatever they feel like speaking about. So you'll have a public hearing as well after public comment. So did you want to talk public comment or public hearing? Or you don't care? Kelly Smith, right? Want to stand and say your name and address and comment away?
So, Kelly Smith, we live at 9037 Silver Lake Drive in Cedar Hills. And we are here because of the solar panel guidelines. And I sent pictures over to Chandler. We actually had a common meeting out in our backyard, which I would invite anybody to do if they're ready. We had solar panels put up by our neighbor who lives down below us. We live up above. And he put them right up against our property line, We actually had to go make sure they weren't in our yard. Right on the property line. So they don't obscure his view or his house. He can't see them from his house, but they look like they're in our backyard. And when you see the pictures, when I'm standing next to them, I have no view out my backyard. So when you stand next to them, it is a wall of nothing that used to be in Utah Lake, and which we paid a premium for to have a view lot. You know, when we met with a realtor, we were told we were, you know, it was a view lot, so we were paying extra because we had a view lot, which we don't have. From our actual yard, when we stand next to them, they are how far? Anyway. I sent pictures, you can see. I can't see out when I stand there. I can't see out. So we would love for you to do something. Obviously, it's not going to be retroactive. There's nothing you can do for us. We feel like it would be not, you know, we wish something stood up for us before this happened. Because, you know, we feel like we've lost property value. I mean, we know we have because they look like they're in our yard. And someone's going to say to us, oh, are those solar panels still at the house? And we're going to say, nope, you don't benefit from those at all. But this is your new view from our backyard. So we're upset to say the least, but we'd love to see something that makes it further from the house or lower down. We'd like they could have been fed into the hill if that's what we wanted to do. We have the same situation he has where we can't put solar panels on our roof, but we chose not to have solar panels because there was no way to do it without being applied to our yard and to our neighbor sheds. So we're actually in the same situation he is with not being able to have solar. Questions?
No, we don't ask questions.
Okay. So I sent pictures over to him, and anyway.
Okay.
We'd love for you to come look before you make a decision so you can really see the impact for surrounding neighbors. So we feel like it's not just a to get you to decide for yourself what you can do in your yard. If it drastically changes somebody else's setup.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wants to make public comment from the public? Okay. If we will now close the public comment portion of the agenda. I would like to retract something. Steve Thomas is not a voting member of the commission. Now that Craig is here. So just for the record,
am I?
Huh?
Am I?
Yeah.
Okay. Steve and I are both alternates. So.
Well, let me get them in order here. Steve is a voting member, and Brian, you are not.
Okay.
I retract my retraction.
and I would say that, or to clarify that that's Steve was appointed to the commission before I was.
Yes. Okay. Steve is senior. Yes.
Sounds good.
Something personal. Yes.
I will provide my comments.
But yes, you're welcome to. Yes. Comment away. Okay, now that I have started my meeting so well, let's go on to the public hearing portion of the meeting. We are having a public hearing on two topics: amendments to the City Code Title 10, Chapter 5, Section 27, landscape regulating artificial turf. Is there anybody here that is here to make public comment? Public hearing portion.
I need a drop box. I can't do it right now.
The other portion of public hearings, amendments to the City Code Title 10, Chapter 5, Section 38, relating to ground-mounted renewable energy systems. Anybody here make public comment in the public hearing portion of that agenda topic? Okay. I would entertain a motion to close the public hearing portion of that.
Yeah.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Was that Steve? I'm sorry.
Yes, I seconded it. I think John.
Yes. Oh, John did.
Okay.
Sorry.
Scheduled items number three, approval of the minutes from the August 31st, 2017 Planning Commission. I entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I moved that we approved the minutes from the August 31st.
Is there a second? I'll second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Item number four, review recommendations on amendments to the City Code Title 10, Chapter 5, Section 27.
That's where I've got it.
And the artificial turf. I would entertain a motion to move the item number five to go ahead. To say, anybody's interested in making that motion?
Yes, I move to agenda item five, or agenda item four.
A second. Four ago. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So the next topic is now review recommendation on amendments to City Code Title 10, Chapter 5, Section 38, relating to the ground-mounted renewable energy systems.
Okay, so I really appreciate the comments that were made. And I had a conversation with Kelly's before about this, and with Councilmember Daniels and Paula as well. And we wanted to do something to kind of prevent the nuisance that was so what we did is, after meeting with the Planning Commission a number of times, we're not disallowing ground-mounted solar as atrocious as it is in time, but we're trying to create a building envelope for it that mitigates the impact that it has or could have on the surrounding areas. So rather than being allowed to put this ground-mounted solar right up on the property line, and I'm trying to send those pictures to Kelly shared with me, I tried to email that to you with the internet. Too big a picture, too slow internet. So she did post them on the CDL's chat room, so if you have the bandwidth, go check them out. But in her case, like she said, the mounts are right on the property line, and it's really kind of in your face. Now, it's pretty terrible. I'm not going to mince words. Anyway, what this does is it requires a minimum setback of 15 feet from the property line, any property line. It can only be the rear side. Setback. So you take that 15 feet, and then for every foot that you go up above 10 feet on your ground-mounted solar, you have to go back another 2 feet. Eventually, you're going to run into your house, or else you are going to, unless you're a really big yard. So what it does is it kind of creates a limitation for each lot. Some lots may not be able to do it, and that's fine. As a land use jurisdiction, we don't. Every use doesn't get to be had in every zone. So, for example, we have large animal rights that cannot be found in every zone. Some lots, even in the zone that allow it, are not able to have it. So, ground-mounted solar, while many people may want it, they may find some limitations based on the lot size. So, And then it sets a it's limited to 20 feet, the maximum height. So if you were to get up to 20 feet height, that's the same height that we allow for an accessory structure. So what if the ground mount solar were to be 20 feet high, it would have to be, that one's 35 feet from the property line. So that's kind of and that's not measured from the mount, that's measured from the edge of the panel. So in these cases, the panels swing around, so it creates radius, you draw radius around the mount, and that's the property line, that's the setback. Any questions on how that's worded? Is there any desire to tighten that up? Loosen it either way. I entertain any discussion.
No, I had a much easier looking up in the hillside area where you've got downward trail through the flat iron.
In the hillside area?
But in the hillside area, if you've got, here, someone's flat right up there.
Chandler, I have those pictures pulled up. I don't know if I can kind of show the other members.
Yeah, that'd be great. In the nuisance portion, glare is something that's considered. It's not in this code, but it is.
A lot of the other codes talk about it. You have glare restriction.
That's already in the
non-request.
It's not in this portion, but I think it's in the solar panels.
And then there's also some, so that height thing kind of gets squirrely too, because the electric code says that it either has to be protected or it can't be accessible.
Yeah, and that still says that. You have to, it has to be fenced off as well.
Right. So depending on how it's set up, so there's a lot of moving parts here.
Yes, there are. And we do still require that they be enclosed, because it's kind of what we discussed back in, how long ago was that? I don't know. But it creates an attractive nuisance. It creates an attractive nuisance where kids may be tempted to climb on it. So we said, okay, well, if you're going to have ground mounted solar, you have to have it enclosed in fence.
Who's that now?
That's not in our city.
Oh, that would violate.
Well, that's before.
Four ways.
Well, that is before the code was even passed previously.
But the electric code says it needs to be protected.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean like every
time would it be easy.
So electric code says that it has to be greater than 6 feet or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it can't be accessible. Like you can't reach up and grab it kind of thing.
Right. Or so it has to be external. In that case, we can reach out to them and have them put up a fence. That's
I think that's probably.
But
wouldn't the fence block even more?
Because
you can see.
It's so much taller than the fence.
It's a 6 foot fence.
The fence is to protect you from climbing up it and shot.
Right, and we have grandchildren on that with our other concerns, so we've been trying to figure out how we're going to do something.
Yeah, it's not to protect a view shed fence, it's to protect access.
Right, but the fence isn't going to be worse. It can't get worse. Don't
say that, it can always get worse.
No.
That is 12 feet above our property line, and I've had to raise my property line with.
Yeah, we saw the retaining wall.
We had to put all of it in.
$25,000.
Just to raise up our property so that I could then tie it with trees so that I could, get the ground level up, because I don't want these giant trees just growing up too. So
my opinion hasn't changed when we talked about this topic earlier. My personal opinion, you should disallow ground mounted sources as well like that in our city. And I believe that. I think I voted no for this because of that. I was saying something around that. I think it's the consequence of us permitting such, right? The unforeseen consequence that we didn't address. I don't know if these were put up, but they put up before after the code, but I feel like this is we don't allow it. And I know that's a pretty strict position to take, but that's just how I view it. I think there's ample places to put it on a house or a structure that
doesn't create the safety hazards. We're trying to now mitigate that ruin the view that people enjoy. So
I just needed to have on the record that I work for the power company, so anybody wants to know that, I talk about this stuff further, although this is my personal opinion. My only concern is my partner, where you've got 8 or plus lots, there, you can put a ground mount system that has no impact whatsoever on the game. So, I mean, that's my concern.
I know what he's talking about.
I was here for that one. So, but anyway, the zone is such that it
tightens it, so there's not a lot of flexibility in how you do it. That was the idea here, so that's why I'm asking, is there a desire to, it doesn't sound like there's a desire to, no, move back towards the property line, loosen it up, but is there a desire to tighten it up, or, I mean, the suggestion you made, Stephen, was that it's not a suggestion, it's a requirement, and I think we should reference that in the code, that it should be subject to all building and electrical the city has accepted building code, and there's reference in the code already to that, but I also think it doesn't help, it always helps to put another reference in there.
Seems to me that 20 feet is kind of high.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So we can over that. 15 feet, but I don't know the systems as well as some others here, perhaps. But
well, so let me talk about this. The other provision we're changing is that it's 100 square feet per mountain. So if you have 100 square feet per mountain, it's 10 by 10. So if you're only 15 feet off the ground, that means that edge of that panel is 5 feet off the ground.
And it's fenced.
And it's fenced.
No, so it'll be angled.
So if you could angle that, yeah. It's most steep angle, it'd be 5 feet off.
Is that a problem?
I don't care, no. I don't think it's a problem.
If it's fenced.
Yeah, it has to be fenced. That's, to me, that's not a negotiable item. That's just subject to, like Steve said, to electrical code.
20 feet, just, you're up above the E of most homes.
Well, 20 feet, it wasn't chosen just arbitrarily. That's the same height as the accessory building.
Sure,
so if you want to treat it as an accessory building, 20 feet would be the number. If you don't want to treat it as an accessory building, you want to call out a different height, I definitely wouldn't go higher, but lower, I think, makes sense. So at 15 feet, you're looking at, what is that? 25 foot setback? 20 property line?
Yes.
So if you can kind of picture that.
15 feet high, 25 feet off the property
line. All property lines.
Right. And if you run it, I mean, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I don't even have 15 feet of my backyard.
See, lots of folks.
Lots of folks in my neighborhood don't.
But see, as it currently sits, you could.
Yeah.
Pending any HOA.
Right, and as in this case, it will destroy my neighbors.
Well, I think that in a specific case, if they came, even if they did the minimum 15 feet, and that's not 15 feet down the hill, that's 15 feet over, you're on a pretty steep hill, that would drop it 10 feet lower than it is now.
This application was actually the genesis for the original code.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that the original code was passed and then they put in the solar, the city, just like many cities, many municipalities, they didn't have any
code. Didn't have any code on it at all.
So we had to treat it as an accessory building. So that's why we tried to get ahead of any other applications, but looking at that system, they could do something very similar to what they did with the current code that was passed. So that's why we're looking at the ground mounted solar saying,
right,
we may need to tighten this up.
In my thoughts, I'm not opposed to it. I agree. Correct, there are situations where it seems like it could work fine. I think 15 feet max, in my opinion, would be more appropriate for a system like that. Whatever hardship that creates for the homeowner is just part of meeting our local code.
Well, it's,
and then I'm
it's hard to argue that that's a hardship. Because if they're going to go to the Board of Adjustment and try to get a variance, claiming that it's a hardship, it's it's going to get denied because it's a self-imposed hardship. It's not an existing hardship.
And is there anything we can do for that?
Retroactively, no.
So it snuck in before.
Once we saw this application,
oh, I get it.
That's when we started.
I'm not saying it's a false call.
Let's see what we can do here.
We might, as a city, we might be able to impose a fence.
Yes,
I think that's existing color.
I think that's something that we can pursue with the zoning, saying we should draw attention to this doesn't mean we're going to put a sign in there and be set by a notice of
what's the consequences or the enforcement if there is no fence or if they built up issue fund?
What's that?
Maybe a zoning violation. We need to put that code here or no, it's
just subject to this part of the code or?
Well, it's already part of the code.
The city's adopted building code. Part of that building code is like, let me see, it's the intellectual code as well. They should have friends. So we can go back and correct that.
And do we require a permit or building permit?
Yeah.
Where's that code?
Building code.
Building code?
Building code required. So the city adopts the building code. And then the building code is a separate book.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, are solar systems specifically mentioned in that code?
Yeah, there's requirements for solar systems.
So all of the solar
panels, all the solar panels that you see going up have a building permit going associated with it. I don't believe that's something that we need to call specifically.
Could we drop that to 15 foot maximum height to 20 and catch the setbacks the way they are?
I don't have a problem with lowering the height. I just think that eliminating it altogether, you have, I don't know that anybody across the country is saying that. I've got some neighbors an acre and a half, and the ones that's not in the middle of their bathroom. They're not even noticing it would cause a lot of slides if it's not with that.
So, how big of a fence should we require right now? It just says a fence. They could put a 3 foot thick fence right now.
No, they couldn't. The code specifies that.
Question. Can I ask you a question about that? The way it currently is, their panels are right on the property line. So, in order to fence those, they would have to come up and we would have to put the panels in our yard, essentially, to keep people from accessing the panel. How would that, something like that work?
Are you really that close to do?
Oh yeah,
I
go out there all the time, but I look down the line, and they're right on the line. Like
But
it's the upper part that's leaning over your property.
Yeah, leaning.
How far is the mound?
The mound's probably, I would imagine, 6 to 8 feet.
Because they don't have it. Because it just has to make it inaccessible. I mean, the top of the panel can be over the fence, as long as it's inaccessible.
They couldn't, in this case, we told them that they can't have the panels over the fence.
But if the fence were on the property line.
So if the fence is on the property line, assume the fence is on the property line, and the mount is 3 feet on, I don't know, making up numbers. Let's say the mount's 3 feet off. Is 10 feet wide.
Right.
You know, they can swing over the property line, but we told them that no one's ever turned, are they allowed to swing that panel over the property line. So they would have to kind of keep it in a way that kept the whole panel on site on their property.
Do we need to add that to the code specifically?
No, because it's just that on property, right?
But the way the sun is,
I can't build a deck over my property line and not whatever in case that cover over yours.
Right. But they tipped.
Right, yeah.
They tipped them back into my yard. I can literally grab them. They tipped them back.
Will you call the city when that happens?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we will, but I was just curious about the fence.
If they're repeatedly in violation of what they've been told, then the city, I think, does have some jurisdiction to go in and say, hey, you're binding by the terms of the agreement.
Requirements abide with the land that the subject matter resides on, right? So there wouldn't be a requirement for the fence in your yard, certainly.
Yeah, the fence requirement's not on you.
Right, and I was just curious.
Where can possible, where the fence can possibly go.
If they can't build a fence, then they don't meet the code.
Well, then they have to move the panels.
Yeah, move the panels, so that might be a way to correct some of that.
I don't know, well, I'll have to reach out to answer your question.
So this topic is a review recommendation, so at some point, I would entertain a motion on it.
Just as a matter of note, the two changes I have are the changes from 20 feet to 15 feet, and then reference to subject to all building approvals.
So maximum height 15 feet.
Yeah.
And the setbacks stay the same as your definition?
Except the initial setback recommendation. Formula stays the same, yeah. Based on whatever.
So, do we want to treat them as adjacent buildings or as equipment? Because we can.
I don't want to treat them as an adjacent building because then I can go back to the 20 feet.
Yeah, you go back to 20 feet. It's not a building.
An adjacent building in our
code. I mean, in building code, you could argue that it's a structure, but for the definition of structure, the definition of structure is so broad that you can even go so far as to put like a cement pad as a structure, which you don't have as a structure. The definition really is anything that is built. So,
all right, so two changes that you have noted in section B, revising the height from 20 to 15 feet, maximum height from 20 to 15 feet. And where would you put the other change?
I would add this section 5.
You said so 3.
Yeah, I'm just doing 4.
And what would be the proposed verbiage in that?
Shall be subject to all building electricals and other codes. The zoning portion is a little different than that, but there actually might be a better spot for that as I'm thinking about it.
Yeah,
like solar code. In general.
The residential code, mechanical code, fire code.
Well, they're already, you could even go so far as to just say, shall be subject to all adopted building codes. Because the city has adopted fire code, it has adopted residential, commercial, all those that you referenced. So I don't know if there's any reason to spell it all out.
Would you put it in a separate section, or would you put it just in 10.5.38 as a whole?
Let me look at the code first. Because where this would also apply to rooftop solar, that reference would be better served to reference ground and roof rather than just ground.
I'm not sure what's happening up there, but I think it's a wedding.
The wedding party's leaving.
You're having a better time than we are.
I think that party just gets started. I feel like we are inexperienced on this topic, and when we addressed this the first time, a few little gaps here we didn't foresee. I'm just trying to imagine what additional gaps, if any, we're going to be at. Well, here we are again, 8 months from now, addressing solar because we didn't foresee X, Y, and Z. I can't think what they might be. Right? I don't know. Does anybody else have any other additional thoughts or suggestions that you're thinking might be crazy, but maybe we should talk about it anyway? Just curious.
I don't know that we're, like you said, ready to vote on this or even have, but we need to research.
Okay.
More. There's a ton of time for this stuff that I would be would affect this.
The if I were to reference other quotes, I would do it under the general submittal requirements for wind, all wind and solar energy systems. This is 10.538B and subsection 4 under permit. It says all applications shall make application, all applicants shall make application by fulfilling all requirements of the city building permit application. Part of that
application is that the city has adopted building code, but I would spell it out there, and all permits shall be subject to all building codes. That way it doesn't really matter if it's...
It's more of an umbrella.
It is an umbrella. It doesn't matter if it's residential, commercial, electrical. I think it's just, you treat them all the it's just building code. It's just all of the same. Whether it's residential, commercial, anything. Fire's up there as well. And fire code is not found in our code, but nonetheless, buildings, our inspections, they're subject to fire code, fire commercial.
I know you say you probably have unforeseen things where you thought of and you're doing some research, but I also fear that between now and then somebody else may now get another system.
To that end, the city can't say, no, we have if this has been noticed for a few months, the city can deny an application until our application is pulled off because it's been noticed. Now, if we hadn't started talking about it, like back here, this case, that just came, then we started talking about it. Where we started talking about it, proposed change, the city can't say, well, there's a proposed change.
If we were to say, would we have to re-notice this for a hearing?
No. We're required to have one hearing, and that was tonight, and it went well.
I would encourage this body to do its research before the meeting as much as possible so we can take care of the public's business. If I do that, I don't always do a good job of that, but I just want to point out that we as commissioners should notice a topic that we should start researching and studying and evaluating the topics versus pushing it off. Just want to point that out.
Well, I think it's good. I agree with what you said. And anytime you are in the kind of the forefront, you're leading out on new code, it's very susceptible to gaps. As time comes in, as applications come in, you start seeing those gaps and you can start filling in those holes and tightening it to where it's a workable code. And I think you're right that we might be missing something there.
We had a couple of things, just maybe in the talking about this and something. We're wondering, would they have to notify the neighbors? Like, you know, so that maybe we could have had this discussion with him, or like, we had just no idea it was coming. And my other question was,
so rights are granted based on the code and the owner, and it's, there's not a public notice requirement. There's no requirement to notify you whether or not you have a plan.
Right,
it's a permitted activity. They are allowed to.
I used to teach preschool, and I had to go to every neighbor. But then, so far, I'm telling them I was going to be teaching preschool. So, you know, I know that you can have things where you do have to notify your neighbor. So my question is, why some things and not other things? You have to tell them that.
If you make them do like an impact survey on their property or their neighbor's property before they get a permit, I don't know if that's something.
What is your impact to their neighbor? I mean, it could be a number of things.
Sure.
The site.
Well,
sound like it's a
it's a sound.
I never imagined this popping up in my backyard, so.
Oh, I know it was. The other thing is, like, their house in relation to our house is so much lower. So I'm wondering if we also have a discussion about elevation, because where they brought it up to was our ground level instead of their ground level. So it's still their property, but
something to
that. Went all the way up the hill,
yeah.
And now it's my backyard and it's not their backyard.
So something to that, just to speak to that. The way it's currently written is the maximum height of the ground mounted solar energy systems is 15. What would be 15? This is 20. Measures concerning natural light. So in that case, they wouldn't be able to show that up. In some cases, they may not be able to find it.
Yeah, well, we precluded a lot of backyards and losing hills out. We're still included all of them, precluded all together because
it's still
the neighbor's yards, it would be higher than your yards. the soil is something we could proud of, but and then, like I said, I don't think that we've covered all the bases yet. Until you look at a number of applications, it's hard to see where you're coming short. And I don't imagine we're going to get a number of applications for groundwater soil.
To that point, we've talked about categories how many times?
Still haven't got an application without getting it from
years. So,
next question.
Yeah.
You mentioned wanting to do more research. What kind of research are you talking about?
I don't know.
Because I'm also a little concerned about table number two.
I just want to go back and turn the look at the code that I was looking at earlier because it had height restrictions in it. And I don't want to do something that's counter to that.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by this idea of looking a little deeper into the electrical code. It seems to be the most applicable.
If there's something that, because that would encompass applications throughout the country, so if there's something we're missing, like,
we could table it for a month and maybe be just that much more effective. We'd probably be relying on weird largely.
You guys can homework.
Yeah, we can work on that.
I don't want to overburden you, but you know, your way through that.
This commission agenda used to include committee assignments on our agenda, and we certainly should bring back the committee assignments back to the agenda. So I'll entertain a motion if anybody is there to make any point.
I move that we table. The proposed changes to City Code Title 10, Chapter 5, Section 38 relating to groundwater renewable energy systems for 1 month while we do further research.
I was suggest you say subsequent planning commission.
So, versus
we're having one next month, don't you worry.
Things happen.
Sorry, I'll second the motion. Are you any motion?
I'll amend the motion.
So my assumption is that the city will be able to deny any further.
Yeah, we can put a pause on it.
Until we
address this, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you seconded, right?
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion?
So go.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
We will have
constant brownies and lemonade available should
you want to
wander
over to our garden.
We
just have them out all the time.
That one
time she would come take a look at the impact. I feel like really to see it in person though, like before you make a decision, you really have to see what exactly we're looking at.
I'm already in favor of banning all the others. So.
Yes.
I'm already there.
All right, thank you so much for
coming.
Yeah,
thanks for coming.
We'll see you soon.
So the next item on the agenda is review recommendation on amendments to City Code Title 10, Chapter 5, Section 27, landscaping related to artificial turf.
I did not make the changes that were recommended last time, but I have notes of them that it shall consist of green, grass-like individual blades. That's the only
grass-like
change that's not reflected, but I have not forgotten, but I apologize, it's not in this one.
I'm okay.
It is not lost.
Did I say it's just a green, lifelike individual blade?
Green and...
It said green, lifelike, but John wanted green, grass-like. Right?
Grass like, not blades of grass, blades of material. However, in my reading, and I did some this last couple of weeks looking at artificial turf and what they look like, they refer to them as grass frequently. So that's not.
You're not as.
I'm not as hung up on it.
Do you want to go back to what it was, or do you want to
just. I'm fine with the way it reads in the way that I sent out.
All right. Well, of course, they call that good over pretending that it's grass.
Well, it was not just manufacturers, but other people with discussions about it, and some other cities that had discussions and information about it, most of which came from the Southwest, to be honest.
Yeah.
Many from Arizona,
and most of them are
some from California.
Drought
resistant.
Yeah.
Yeah, drought resistant. They don't want to be xeriscaped, so they got artificial grass.
So one of the issues that I thought about, and one of the problems in my view, and I think we touched on this a little bit in discussion, is the maintenance. It shall be replaced if it is worn, uneven, discolored, or damaged. And that's kind of a gray scale there on when and who determines when it's discolored or it's not good enough, and to have city show up and say, all right, now it's not good enough. Yesterday it was okay, but now it's not good enough. You got to spend your $5,000, I have no idea how much it costs, $5,000 to replace this. You know, we give you 30 days or whatever. I mean, that seems like it's going to be a difficult thing to enforce and just kind of spring on somebody, and where we draw the line when it's acceptable and when it's unacceptable.
Which leads me to the second code.
Please.
Artificial turf is not an acceptable type of ground cover. So, there's two options there.
And we kind of clone the argument for the acceptable, right?
I think so, yeah. As much as many of us don't like it, but there are good options out there. They're expensive, but
they're expensive.
They're good options. But I do appreciate Brian's point that is the city going to be the ultimate judge on when something is sufficiently worn out and severe advice?
Is not the city already a judge? Or,
well,
they're treating us to start with.
Wrong, or yard is not maintained by.
But there's a difference between like a very standard measurable limit. Like if your weeds in your yard are over 6 inches, we can prove that.
Yeah,
but what is discolored? If somebody dumps paint on it, it's discolored.
Since I missed the last couple of things, do I understand with this request that my next door neighbor would be allowed to replace the front lawn with nice looking artificial turf?
Yes.
So if the house next door to me just went up for rent and they did not want, the owner did not want to maintain the yard, they could place artificial turf in the front and side yard.
Correct.
Based on this code, so that they would at least not have to mow the yard. They would be subject to all the other requirements, weeds, etc.
Yeah. That is your reading, right?
I'm already on record as opposing artificial turf in any form or location in a residential. I'm maybe open to the concept on a commercial lot, in portions thereof or something. I've seen it done well there, but I just look for grass there too. So I wouldn't be opposed to recreational use of artificial turf or someone putting a putting green in their backyard or something like that.
Right now,
backyard's already illegal.
Right now, it's already
backyard,
no problem. It's in the
front. Well, I know.
The front yard is where the city has the current code that you have to maintain your taking occupancy, put in the yard.
I understand that the most, that there's plenty of people that don't want a massive lawn for their front yard. We do live in a desert. Water can, is a scarce resource, but obviously there's many different options on how to landscape. You can just have a lawn in an area or
zero scape
or just kind of more of a, there's options, but I'm not a voting member tonight, but I just wanted to say that I do oppose artificial turf in the front yard. If you want to have a lovely putting green in the backyard, that's great. My dad has one down in St. George, but not in the front yard.
I'll be the contrarian on this one. I think it's fine. I've looked at them and at least knew they're not unsightly at all. They're low maintenance. They're no hotter than asphalt. They're hotter than grass. use a ton less water and a ton less maintenance. They're way more environmentally friendly.
And I would mention that the lack of use of water is coupled with the use of oil to create it and the heat that it generates.
So that's great. Oil doesn't do anything.
I look into it. What's used in making them, and honestly, the amount of gasoline burned in 5 years of mowing your lawn is, and then the pollution is way more polluting than what's used in manufacture of them. That's not the issue. The issue comes down to appearance as it ages. That's the real issue. Because new, they look fine. But that's all I've seen is new. Up on Bay Hill Drive, there's one house that has some in.
In
there, yeah. And then I drove down the street, could not identify it by driving down the street.
On Bay Hill?
North Bay.
A little bit darker.
January said it was just a few houses down there,
yeah.
So I drove the street.
And yeah, that one I feel like was not done very well.
Yeah, I just drove and said, I was just driving with the idea.
Yeah, there was another one that
going to catch my eye.
Somewhere in that neighborhood, I don't know the address.
That one on Bay Hill's the only one I went and looked at, and it.
I didn't stop.
It's not. In a way where you would notice it if you were driving by.
And that's what I did.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
But I was looking for it, and I actually had noticed it on a walk earlier in the year. And if you're in front of the house, you can tell. If you're moving past it, it blends in. It seemed like it was a little bit darker than a natural lawn.
It is.
How long has it been there?
I don't know.
There was another person that wanted it, and they came in and asked the city council to consider this. This is why it's on the agenda.
Which
in the meantime, while they asked to consider it, they just went ahead and installed it.
They came in, they put a comment about 5 months ago.
Here. This has been on the agenda since July. I think it was June.
Point if somebody was polite enough to follow the correct procedure of this thing.
They might actually.
I didn't know if I could put it in anyway.
They might actually even speak to their neighbor first. I don't know. But.
How about that?
And then realizing they needed to do it before there was code, they went.
Right.
I didn't get that point.
I'm not sure that's the big reason. I'm sure they just wanted to do it by their yard. So
I simplify it. We want to discuss this further, or is there a motion that you would like to make? So just to be clear, the enclosed documents we have some proposed language here around, you know, managing the front yard and what requirements would be there if we did such. And then the second one is C3 artificial turf, not acceptable. That's already in the code, or not in the code.
It's not.
Yeah. I don't think either of these are.
No, that's my thought. These are in the code.
Right, because I know I'm one big city's argument.
Either one of them would be an addition to the landscaping code. Either one of these would be an addition to the landscaping code.
So there's no designation for backyard use of turf being permissible.
Because we don't even have to put a yard in backyard
anymore. Right.
We don't enforce backyards.
So.
And so what would happen when this yard asked about it and speak about it and then went into it before we.
There. It's not expressly prohibited, it's allowed. So, kind of goes back to the ground and solar that you beat the discussion.
So, you could potentially have two motions if the first one is not.
What do you mean?
If somebody could move.
We're recommending a code. So you can, well, I guess you can have three, but we don't recommend any code to the council, which is, doesn't really solve anybody's problems, but recommend either code prohibiting it or the code allowing it.
I like the code not acceptable. I like that page rather than the other page in the documents.
I think some of my questions.
That's a good question.
Yeah,
it's in the books and what you
think. Exactly.
I could make a motion.
You're always allowed to make a motion. I can't stop you from making a motion.
I would like to make a motion.
I'd like to move that we recommend to the city council the artificial turf code as a prohibited landscaping method for the front side yard areas with the language shown in the.
Watch us with.
Exactly, which reads. Artificial turf is not an acceptable type of ground cover and does not meet the intent for provisions of this section. The installation of artificial turf shall be prohibited in the front and side setback for any residential or commercial lot.
Do I have a second?
Okay.
Any discussion before we vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say
nay.
Nay, okay. We have one nay. For the record. For the record.
Did anybody abstain for the record?
I was still thinking when you.
I didn't think I heard your voice over there.
You want to add your vote to the record? Although I.
What was that?
I'm agreeing with you once again.
Okay.
So let it be noted.
I'm glad we got that in your
motion. Oh. Finally, my duty is now done. Alright, anything else?
So I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? You haven't agreed with me on that one before.
I haven't agreed with you.
Hey, 7:51, Chandler. Look at that.
Nice.
Start driving with the chillins.
Cammy will make me not quit my job. It's wretched.